Whatever you write on the heart of a child, no water can wash away. The sand may be shifted when billows are wild and the efforts of time may decay. Some stories may perish, some songs be forgot, but this graven record, time changes it not. Whatever you write on the heart of a child, a story of gladness or care, that heaven has blessed or earth has defiled, will linger unchangeably there. Godly parents can structure a child's way of living so that what is written in his heart will forever be an asset to him. Since it is almost impossible to have too many ideas in bringing up children, and since I've been praying that you would give examples from your own life in the lessons each week, let me share these projects and goals for your consideration. Before we can write anything of great value on the heart of our children, we need to have in mind what we are doing. Here are some goal suggestions. Be certain that there are no walls between each child and you through wounding their spirit. Proverbs 18:14 says, "The spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity, but a wounded spirit who can bear?" Next, teach them who Christ is, why he came, and his way of life. Also, teach them the biblical positive qualities as character goals. Teach the content of scriptures as an illustration of those qualities. Not much has been said about the teenager, and you may be a parent or teacher of this age child. Assist each one of your teenagers to apply to his life circumstances the qualities and illustrations of them by setting various goals. Goals perhaps in character, spiritual goals, social goals, which would have to do with dating among other things, educational goals, vocational goals, and financial goals. A story of security can be written on our children's hearts if we can develop an attitude of child acceptance. Assess your own attitude toward your children and take the necessary steps to approval. First, you have to recognize the fact of rejection. There's a story of one set of parents who were planning to write a birthday letter to their child expressing their love to him by mentioning such things as how glad they were that he was a member of their family and giving some details that surrounded the anticipation of his arrival. Every child loves to learn about this. Relating the desire that he be a godly man and reminding him that he has fulfilled their hopes and dreams and expressing their gratitude and thankfulness for him. When the husband came home in the evening to put his final note on the letter, the wife and mother told him that she couldn't think of any good things to say about the child. Fortunately, the husband could. But at least this mother recognized her disappointment in her offspring. The next step is to identify the underlying cause of rejection. On one hand, list things you do not like about the child. On the other hand, list your wrong reactions to those things. Some parents are upset that their child is rude. Is the underlying reason for this so that the parents will look good before their friends? Then the basis of being upset is selfishness, not the child's best interest. Why do we want them to have good grades, or play on the little league team, or change their personalities? Write it down. Now draw a mark through those which originate out of selfishness, because the deep motive is for our personal benefit, desire, or ease. And place a star by the things that are valid and right, because the deep intention there is for the benefit of the honor of God in their lives and for their own personal good. Next, recognize that this child is a person God fashioned. Psalm 119:73 says, "Thy hands have made me and fashioned me." Then ask God's forgiveness for your selfishness. Thank God for the things you resented or desired changed. Ask the child's forgiveness. To say to the child, "I failed to be to you the father that I ought to have been," is not to say that you're a failure. Finally, verbally accept the child and assure him of love. Matthew 18:10 reminds us, "Take heed that ye despise not one of these little ones, for I say unto you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven." The stories we write on the hearts of our children can give them gladness or anxious care. What a privilege and responsibility we share as parents under God. Let me thank you, teacher, for the privilege that I've had in these times together to share with you out of my heart, my life, and my own desire for others to come to know Christ in reality and truth and to become more and more like Him. I thank you for having taken the responsibility as a discussion group leader in the Godly Man Study. And I know that God has not only blessed those in your group, but has blessed your own life through the effort. That's one of the wonderful things about Christianity. We never give, but that we receive. I'll be praying for you, and I trust that some of the members of your group will themselves have the courage now to take another group and take them through the study. We'll be praying that it might continue to be used of God to His glory until Jesus comes.